Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning? It does not matter what season you are in. You can be in a season of chaos, a season of sickness. You can be in a season of bondage or a season of financial poverty. But because you chose to be here today in the living presence of God, you have decreed, as the Word says, that you will be like a tree planted by the water. And no matter what season you are in, you will produce fruit, and fruit will remain. Today, we position ourselves in the presence of God where there is living water, and we will be rooted in that place. So that place of chaos will be a place of peace, and that place of bondage will be a place of freedom, and that place of sickness, we decree and declare, will be a place of healing, and that place of poverty will become a place of abundance, because God is living and active. Praise in your worship. In His presence, all things are done. Glorious Heavenly Father, this is your time. We want you. We hunger and thirst after you. As a deer panteth for the water, so our hearts long for you. Move in this place in supernatural miracles, because you are awesome and powerful and more mighty than anything that the enemy could try to bring our way. You always have the victory. You always win, and you are always faithful. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Who's ready to give God glory today? Nah, I said, who's ready to give God glory and honor for what He is due? Come on, give God a shout. All right, let's sing this with me. Sing, Lord, You Are Good.
Lord, You are good, and Your mercy endureth forever.
Hey, hey, hey.
Lord, You are good, and Your mercy endureth forever.
Come on and clap with me.
We worship You.
Still it flows.
falls from your throne. Jesus, some still don't know the blood that you shed still it flows.
Your blood will never lose its
blood that you shed till it flows. Jesus, I love you so. Your blood still it flows from your throat. Jesus, some still don't know the blood that you shed till it flows.
Cannot lose.
Your precious blood
cannot lose.
Will never lose.
Sing your Time sing.
Your blood will never lose its power, power. Your blood will never lose its power, power. Your blood will never lose its power.
Come on, everybody, just sing it out. Declaration. When I'm going through the struggle, when I've got my problems, when the doctor says that I am sick and they don't know what's going on, your blood will never lose. It will never lose. Your blood can't lose. See, it stamped my life. It said I will recover. It says that
will never lose its power. A lot of people are into religion. I just want you to know that we're not interested in religion. Amen. I want all of Jesus that I can get. I want the power of God to transform, transition, supernaturally touch your life. In fact, if you need a touch from God, just lift your hands to heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we don't ask, Lord, for a man, but we need you. Jesus, you're in this room. Spirit of God, you're hovering in this room. I ask in Jesus' name that you'll go beyond and that this morning you'll touch us in a supernatural dimension. I release the anointing of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you that right now you're healing bodies, you're healing minds, that God, you're making somebody sad very, very glad, that God, you're lifting off the burdens, and Jesus, you're setting people free. We love you so much, God, and we thank you so much that you love us. Father, we don't even know where we'd be without you. And we thank you that today, we didn't love you first. You loved us first. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away every single sin. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen. On your way back to your chair, don't be a snob now. Go meet five people you do not know and say, good morning. I got the blood of Jesus in my life. Come on, go find somebody.
HT family, it is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
Are you looking to spice up your marriage? Listen, with our marriage encounter here at His Tabernacle, we want you to hear firsthand from a couple that have experienced the encounter themselves. Listen up.
We attended the marriage encounter with an expectation of growth in our marriage. We'd been married for a long time and we had a great marriage, and we just wanted to have God in the center of it and grow in what we had already established for 23 years.
And I, for one, could tell you I had zero expectations going in because our marriage was very healthy and thriving. But coming out of it, we got a lot of tools, a lot of things that we use on a day-to-day basis to help our marriage grow and thrive with God at the center.
The next marriage encounter is November 8th through the 10th. It's only $425. That's less than your mortgage payment in a month. And the growth and expectation that you're going to get from this encounter is well worth it.
What are you doing?
What do you look like I'm doing?
You're eating during the week of prayer and fasting.
Oh my God! I forgot!
Hey family, something new that we're doing different this year. We're actually holding a second week of prayer and fasting. We're holding it next month from September 10th through the 13th, right here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. We're intentional here at His Tabernacle. We've had great growth with groups, with our Ithaca campus, and we want to continue growing and end our year out strong. So make sure that you come out and join us for prayer.
Shout of praise for His presence and the miraculous work that He did in this house already, and for the work that He's going to do. The Word of God is living and active. It is powerful, and when it's released into your lives, you should expect that you will be changed, that your situations and your circumstances will be changed, because the power is there to change your body, to change your soul, to change your spirit, to change your mindset, and to bring all things into a place of abundance. It's the presence of God that positions us for prosperity. We serve a mighty, mighty good God. I don't know about you, but I get really excited about Sundays, corporate worship, corporate study of the Word of God. We have the best house, the best family, the best people, because you're hungry for Jesus. And that is the cultivation for miracles. It's a freedom for the Holy Spirit to move through this place. So turn to somebody next to you and say, you're in the right place. And I'm glad I'm sitting next to you. That's right. We surround ourselves with people that believe in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we would like to welcome our guests this morning. If you are a guest, we're going to ask you to raise your hand. We just want to make sure that we get a packet to you. Listen, there's a really beautiful coffee mug in there, and I'm a collector of coffee mugs. I love them. I even have a ton of His Tabernacle coffee mugs in my cupboard. So go ahead and raise your hand and keep it up. One of our guest hosts will come around and bless you with that. Also, we would like to invite you to come right out to the porch afterwards, to the tent, and just take a few moments to get to know us as much as we would like to get to know you. We are a relationship church because we serve a relationship God. And we just like to get to know people that have come to join us and people that have joined with us in worship. So if you are guests in the house right after, just go right on out to the tent and we want to meet you. There are people over here up front that need a guest packet, please. Anyone else that was missed? Right here, right here, right here. Also, we would like to welcome our live stream audience. We love you, and we're so glad that you join us every single week. We are not His Tabernacle without you, so thank you so much. We have some fantastic things happening here at the church pretty much every single day of the week. You cannot come here on a day of the week and not have anything going on. But we have this amazing program called Next Steps. Turn to somebody next to you and say, Next Steps. Next Steps is a powerful opportunity for you to learn exactly what the Bible says about various subjects. And I've been around here. I've been in this area. I grew up in this area. And we do not have very many churches that actually really teach the Word of God and explain to you why you believe what you believe according to the Word. And these classes will teach you so that you don't know because your pastor told you, and you don't know because your parents told you, and you don't know because your youth pastor told you, but you know because you know it according to the Word of God. That is power. That is where we are changed and transformed. So come on out to Next Steps, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. We have an end times class. It is step 3. You want to make sure you come to that. Who's in the end times class? Step 3. I'm hearing that it is an amazing, powerful teaching that you do not want to miss out on. Also, who's in a group? Raise your hand if you're in a group. Listen, people. All the cool people are in a group. So if you're not in a group, get in one. Now, the coolest group, you just have to ask other people because they all think they're the coolest group, okay? So you want to make sure that you get involved with a group. If you haven't done that, Robin Savard, she's the coolest group. So if you have not gotten involved with a group, please go out to the hub. They'll get you all set up. There is no reason why you should ever feel alone in the body of Christ, especially here in this house, because we love you. And we want to equip you, and we want to build relationship, because that's what our King does. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Spencer.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It's great seeing you in the driveway. If you didn't see me in the driveway, it means you came in late. My wife wants to give a shout out. She's in South Africa right now. And my wife and I started, some of you know, we started a ministry probably 5 years ago called Empowering Pastors. And what we do is we go and we help pastors out. We minister to pastors and bless the pastors. And many of you don't know this, but we have pastors that sit under us in Kentucky, Canada. We have pastors that we oversee all over the United States, and they watch you. They're watching you. They always comment to me, man, that is, did you hear Pastor Kelly last week? She said, you're a very enthusiastic group. Their church is a little bit quieter. Boy, you rocked them. Amen. So my wife started a ministry probably about 3 years ago called Empowering Pastors' Wives. And you would believe how many pastors' wives feel all by themselves. It's a very hard position to be in. The pastor can be a little bit more social, but the pastor's wife many times seems cut off. And so my wife, as she was growing and learning, went through some wounds in her life. She had people abandon her. She had people that she called her best friends wound her. And about 2 years ago, she came down. She was diagnosed with cancer, stage 3. And she had to make a decision. She knows that God, without question, is her miracle worker. Amen. But she wanted to make sure there was no hindrances to the miracle. So she started asking the Holy Spirit about what in her life needed to go out. And she was finding that she was holding wounds. She was holding hurts. And what that does is offenses cut off the power of God. If you're offended, it means you're cutting off the power of God from your life. And so she wrote a book about it. She wrote a book. It's her life. Now listen now. If you get to know my wife, the one thing you find is that she grew up, her home was broken. She was sexually abused for many years. She was abused actually sexually by about 4 or 5 different men. She was a young lady who had much rejection and much wound in her life. And then she went into the ministry, which compounds everything in the aspect of people say they love you and then they turn on you. She had to make a decision. Was she going to be healthy or was she not? And she asked the Lord, and God started working this miracle in her life. Anybody who was near our life, you saw her transitioning. It was so awesome and miraculous. And even during the middle of the cancer, and then she got free. And when she got free, let me tell you, she was also healed 100% of cancer. She had no medical treatments. It was an absolute miracle. And so she wrote 2 books. One book is called No More Hurt. Where she is in Africa right now is she's Joburg, they call it. Johannesburg, that's what it is, South Africa. And she's been preaching. She just did a woman's service the other day on No More Hurt, which is really exciting because she's us, His Tabernacle. She's on national television all over Africa and all over England. She's on the national magazine. She's the front cover of the national magazine over there. And she's declaring what God is doing in His Tabernacle Family Church is what raised her up. Amen? And then which is exciting too is that today she's going to be with women that were sold into sex slavery. And she's ministering No More Hurt to these women who've been sold into sex slavery. And then she's going to be going to I always forget what they call it. What's those huts called? A squatter's residence. Has anybody ever heard of a squatter's residence? What they are is people build houses out of tin, cardboard. 4 or 5 people live in a little cardboard box, not even a joke. And so she's actually going to be going in there and ministering to all those folks, No More Hurt. Talking about how God did the miracle in her life and then laying hands on sick people and seeing them recover. So she's not here this morning, but she is doing a great work for the kingdom of God from here this morning. Come on, can you give yourself a hand clap this morning? Really, what enabled her to go over there was you buying her book. All the books that this church has bought and people all over the world have purchased enabled her to buy all the plane tickets. They don't pay you over there, by the way. So all of this was missions work from empowering pastors and empowering pastors' wives. And we couldn't do it without you because we wouldn't be doing what we're doing without you. Can you turn to someone and say, thank God for you. This morning as we're getting ready to tithe and give, this is where everybody gets a little antsy. Oh, it's about the money. Listen, I just got to confess. It is about the money. It's about the money to you. And it's about the money to God. God doesn't need your money. But what's happened is you need money. How many of you need money? How many of you wouldn't mind a raise? I love the people that don't raise their hand. I tell you, when you get offered a raise, just donate it to the church. Yeah, I didn't think so. You get excited about that raise. Because you're going to work every day. You're selling your life every single day. And tithing is not about you and I putting money in a plate. It's about you and I putting our life in the plate. Literally, that tenth that God is requiring, according to Leviticus chapter 27, and the tithe belongs to the Lord, is you and I declaring that my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. And God, when I put that money in the plate, I'm declaring that the tenth that I sold, the money, my life that I sold my employer, I'm taking 1/10 and declaring that you are my source. Now, for those who don't tithe, I just challenge you to tithe. You know, it's not about getting money out of your pocket. It's about getting money in your pocket. And when you don't trust God with your money, then you're saying that you're the God of your own finances. And I challenge you to allow God. Take 3 months. 3 months and test. This is the only place that God ever says, test me in this thing. Take 3 months and tithe. Not okay. I'm talking tithe for 3 months, not a week and a half and then stop. Take 3 solid months and tithe. If it doesn't work, don't tithe ever again. Because God cannot fail. His word does not lie. And God said He'll open the windows of heaven and bless you. How many of you want to be blessed? Then shout, I'm a tither. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's make our supernatural declaration. This is the word of God, Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it says this. I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. Okay, this is the third week, remember? I'm blessed in my basket means you have a savings account. If you don't have a savings account open, how can God bless you in your basket? Come on, open the windows of heaven. Open it. Go open one this week. Ready? I'm blessed in my basket. What's the rest? The blessings are what? Turn to someone and say, are you on my tail? Come on, the blessings are chasing me down. They're tripping me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. Come on, let the devil know I'm blessed. One more time, I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. If you're watching by live stream, man, this is your moment. You know, many times you feel isolated because you're there watching by telephone, by your phone or by your iPad or by your computer. And I want you to know that today that God is also saying the same thing to you about tithing. You need to be a tither. This is your home. Maybe you're on vacation this morning. Wherever you are, get off, hit the donate button, get back on quickly. This is how God's kingdom runs. We've got great vision in this house. We need you to be a faithful tither for the kingdom of God. Thank you. We love you. If you wanted to give for, make sure you just put that on your envelope. We're going to make give them one check tomorrow. So just bring it right to the main offering, but make sure it's written on your envelope.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
My wife's not here. I decided not to wear a suit jacket. Is that all right? Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about today's message. I have a series that I've been wanting to start. It's called The Watchman on the Wall. But I'm going to hold it off. There are so many people on vacation. I just don't want to start a phenomenal series that's going to change your life and have at least 100 people missing. You know, so I just want to make sure that we'll probably start in the beginning of September area with that one instead of starting it. So I've got a great word from the Lord for you. He's been churning it in my heart this whole week. And I just want to share it with you because I believe it's going to help some of you. Some of you are carrying, in fact, you got a beautiful smile on your face, but you're carrying a lot of weight on you. Not like me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking, you're carrying a lot of weight on your shoulders. You're overwhelmed. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the Word of God. You see, the world out there, turn to someone and say, I'm God's divine connection. I'm God's divine connection. Come on now, say with excitement. Say, I'm God's divine connection. That's right, you are. You're God's divine connection for somebody. You know what that means? That people are watching your life.
Dela.
That means people are watching your life. It's amazing when we start realizing. Now listen, you know, we've been on TV for a while, and when we first started getting on the television, it was kind of shocking to realize when you walked into Cracker Barrel, people go like this. I can't argue with my wife in public any longer. I can't slap her on the hiney. I make somebody mad. You know, I got to be careful because I'm in the public realm, but we're all public. We're all around people every single day that we seem to know. And you know what's amazing is when you're not realizing that somebody's watching you, they really are watching you. Last week we went to that hill climb. I don't know how many of you were ever to that thing. The biker ministry said, Pastor, we're going to go to this hill climb, Pog something, something. And so, you know, I just, what is it? Pog Hill Climb, that's right, Sean and I went. We just climbed on the back of the motor, climbed on motorcycles and hauled up there. And man, it was like 10,000 people. I'm not even kidding you. 10,000 people at this hill climb in the middle of nowhere. We parked the motorcycles. Within 15 seconds, somebody runs over to me and says, I'll see you in just a little bit. Don't listen, it scared me. I was kind of scared. For those who don't know what it is, that means you don't watch a TV program. At the end of every TV program, I say, I'll see you in just a little bit. And the lady ran right up. I'm talking like seconds. I'll see you in just a little. She says, I watch the show every week. If you're watching right now, you should be right here right now. Just had to throw that in. That was free. But we don't realize how many people are watching our lives. And what they're doing is they're making a decision by watching our life whether their life is better or ours. Whether we're living exactly the way they are, but we have the tag religion on us, or we are walking differently than they are. You see, when you walk differently, when you live differently, that's what draws them to your life. When you cuss, come on now, when you're dropping the F-bombs right with them, guess what? They're not coming with you on a Sunday morning.
I knew I had a party with them. I just want you to know I love the Lord. God is so good to me. I feel a spirit.
You feel a spirit, but it ain't the Holy Spirit, amen? And if you think they're going to come to church with you when you're sipping suds with them, you're delusional because they live the same way you do. When it comes to how we live our life emotionally, it's the same thing. They want to know that if they come to God, there's actually some hope for them rather than Prozac. Amen. And the church has to live differently because we can live differently. I think that's the best, most exciting part about this whole thing about being born again. You see, many people are born again because they don't want to go to hell. Listen, I don't blame you. And that's a good reason to get born again. But I'm not just born again because I don't want to go to hell. I'm born again because I want to live like heaven. I don't know if you heard me. I'm born again because I want to live like heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants to bring heaven to earth in your life. The Bible says that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that you and I, the kingdom of God is within us. Many times we live just like the world because either we're ignorant, and I don't mean that in a mean way, but ignorant, or simply because we choose not to trust God. And I want to talk about that this morning. I've almost gotten to my introduction. Heard something the other day. Blessed are those who preach short, for they will be invited back. Not a lot of hope here, you know what I mean? Turn with me to the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And it says this, casting all, everybody shout all. No, I can't hear you. I said casting all. all your care upon him, for he cares for you. There's another verse found in the book of Psalms, chapter 55, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Let's be honest. Life gets intense, yes or no? How many of you have had some intense moments in your life? How many have been kind of hurt in your life before? How many have been quite disappointed in your life before? How many have been overwhelmed in your life before? You're wondering if you're going to be able to get up the next morning because you're being smothered by your very problems that are in your life. The issue is not that. Say this to me. My problem is not my problem. It's what I do with my problem. Come on, one more time. My problem is not my problem. It's what I do with my problem. Let me tell you, that was spoken to me by the president of our Bible school back in 1986. Wow, that was a long time ago. 1986, and I've never forgotten it, and I've lived it. Why? Well, because my problem is not my problem. It's what I do with my problem. Now, the issue is if you are not saved. Let me tell you about somebody who's not saved. The only way for them to fix a problem is their own creativity. Somebody else's professionality. But the truth is that that's man trying to fix man. How many of you know man has messed up the world pretty good? You do know if the government could fix the world, it had already been fixed. If education could have fixed the world, it was already educated. We're more educated now than we've ever been educated, yet we have more problems. The issue is not any of that. The issue is that the believers need to start believing in who God has called us to be, that we can rise to live the way the world needs to see us live, that the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. That's not leaving. You know, that doesn't mean we join a commune. What that means is come out from among them. That means you are not the same. Stop living the same. Start acting the same and be different because the God of creation is dwelling inside of you. You are powerful people, not weak people. Can I hear an amen? The problem is not the event. The problem is what you're going to do with the event. And when we don't recognize this, then we start handling it ourselves. It is amazing how many of us handle our own problems. How many of you handled your own problems and you got handled? You look like a very strong young man. Could I have you come up with me? You are a beast. Oh, don't hurt me now. Stand right there. Now, do you weight lift at all or just you work out in the field? Both? How much can you, like, curl? Haven't maxed out yet? How much can you lift over your head? You have a good back? Oh, good. Two hands. You can two-hand it. Hold it over your head. Okay, I need a lady. Oh, that's right. We'll take his wife. Yeah. I think you're stronger than your husband. But I got 30 pounds here. Is that enough? Is that too much? Okay, hold it over your head. Okay, praise the Lord. No, I don't know why he wanted you up front, but I thank God he did. I can torture you both at the same time. Glory to God. The truth is that we're not designed to carry emotional anxiety. You know that, right? You've not been created to be able to handle that. What's amazing to me is that our human body and our nervous system has been so taxed in America because we as believers handle our own issues. And what happens over a period of time is things start to break down. It's amazing when you start looking at the medical world, they confirm that the majority source of sickness in the Western Hemisphere is stress and pressure. Don't drop your arms. Because you're strong. They are brand. Well, they were a Christmas present. I don't use them, so. Don't know. You can't lower it. No, you got to hold it the same way. There you go. How you doing? Not very good. Come on, you're a strong man. You're strong. Strong. Come on, come on. Come on, you can do it. You're a beast. He is nasty, sweaty. You done? Okay, put it down. I thought you were strong. Oh, really? You thought you were strong. That's why you handled the problem yourself. And then you dropped your arms, too. See, no matter how big you might look. Women are all stronger. We know that. Dude, you're good. Thank you. Thank you. No, no, you're not done. See how strong you are, lady. But honestly, this is the issue. The Bible says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. But the reason that we handle our own care is because we think we're strong enough. And we are for a while. I mean, Matt is no wuss. He's a solid guy. But 52 pounds over his head for any period of time. Listen, it was no problem. You saw him. No problem when he first picked it up there. But then after a period of time, he became overwhelmed by the weight. How you doing? You're too strong to be weak. You're a woman. You've got to show all these women how powerful you are for the next hour. How you doing? Are you shaking yet? You're done? Why? Are you any different from them? So many of us decide to carry our own weights all the time, but Jesus said something completely opposite. He said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. God has never created you to carry your stress. God never created you to carry your anxiety. God never created you to carry all the overwhelming stuff this world has to have. And you're saying, but this is what we're here for. No, this is not what you're here for. Shout, I'm different. Nah, that wasn't a shout. Shout, I'm different. Some of you really are different, but that's not what we're talking about at all. Come on, shout, I'm different. Shout, I'm different. See, you are different. You serve an awesome God. You serve a powerful God. You serve a God that will take you through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil. You are not the same as the people of the world. The God who created the heavens and the earth literally dwells inside of you. You are never in survival mode. You are in more than conqueror mode. But you see, the reason many aren't is because they reach over. Watch this. You do know this, right? I'm not grabbing his weights. You notice that? So many of you think you can carry a certain amount of weights. You know you can't carry what Matt did. So you just crumble and crush. But you think you can carry what his bride did, right? You say, well, Jen can do it. I can do it. And you'll carry that for a period of time, and then your arms are going to go weak too. See, we've got to make a decision that I'm different, that I'm not going to act the same way the world does. I'm not going to be the same way the world is. I've got a God who dwells inside of me, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It's not a religious statement. It's not just something that we quote every once in a while. It literally is the reality of who you are. Shout, I'm different. You see, what happens is when the event comes our way and the weight comes into our life, we grab a hold of that weight. We drag that weight around with us. And then all of a sudden, fear starts to overwhelm us. You want to know what happens when you can't handle the situation that you're facing? You start getting overwhelmed by fear because now you're controlled by that environment rather than you controlling that environment. You see, if you're doing this all by yourself, the only way you can control is you. And let's be honest, you and I all know we're weak. I don't care how intelligent you are, you're not that intelligent. I don't care how powerful you are in the flesh, it doesn't take long to get weak. I don't care how strong you think you are emotionally, without God on your side, you can only handle it with the fleshly ability. But with God on your side, listen now, this is the powerful part. This is where the change and the difference is between us and the world. And there is quite a difference between us and the world. And that is that the God we serve is not dead, but he is alive. That we're not serving a religion and coming to church because we're religious folk. We come to church because we serve an awesome master, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's King of my life. And if he's King of my life, then it's the King's issue because I cast all my cares upon him, for he cares for me. You see, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you got to be your own way maker, your own miracle maker. You're it. You're all you got. How many of you have ever found yourself that you failed yourself before? I'm talking like you really thought you were going to do it, baby. You've got this thing by the tail. And all of a sudden, everything's spiraling out of control. And now, you're looking up. You don't even know how you got there. You thought you had this thing in the bag. But really, it had you. Because an issue without God in your life means it is steering your life, not you steering it. Is that all right this morning? Didn't matter. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord. You see, many people, because they don't know their God, listen now, I'm talking to the believers now. You have a form of mindset of who you believe God is. You've created your own philosophy of Christianity. In your perception, you've created God to be what you can understand. But the truth is that God has never called you to understand him. He's made himself available, for Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends, and I reveal the things that the Father has revealed to me. That's John chapter 15. But God has desired to reveal himself to you. The Bible says that the very wisdom of man is the foolishness of God. That God, he is so omnipotent, so all-powerful, that there's nothing that he cannot accomplish. You see, when you have your own concept of who God is, you make him very small. Now, I'll be honest with you, there are many times, I won't say many, there are different times in my life, in my prayer life, this is what I'm praying. God, you're too small to me. Has anybody else ever prayed that besides me? God, you're too small to me. It's not that he in himself is small. He is the creator of the universe. He is my padre, my father. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is none like him, none beside him. But in my own mind, in my own concepts, in my own philosophy, even though I know the word, sometimes I size him as the size of a man. It's not that God is a man, but I size him with my faith as a size of a man. So my believer is weak. So when a trouble comes my way, when I start to get overwhelmed, it's very easy for me to say, well, you know, God, I know you're there, but if you will help me, please help me. And what's happened is I've diminished who God is, which means this. If God is moved by faith, for without faith it's impossible to please God. For those who believe must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That if I made him so minute that my faith level is only big enough for him to help me, maybe. Oh, amen. I'm preaching it good. This is the truth. You've got to ask yourself, how big is your God? You see, because whether you believe he's big or whether you don't believe he's big really doesn't matter. What matters is who he is. The more that you can have God enlarge your cistern, enlarge the understanding, that's the Ephesians prayer, as more he brings understanding to your heart and your mind of the revelation of who he is, then your faith level starts to begin to rise. And when your faith level begins to rise, your problems don't be the same, because he is the way maker. Where it is impossible, where there is no way, your God makes a way. Where you need a miracle, like I'm talking like I know we talk about it often, but it wasn't your life, it was our life. When they're telling you your wife has stage 3 cancer and that they're going to cut her up and she'll never be the same again, I don't care who you are. When it's in your own life, it's different than when you hear about somebody else's life. And we did not need a weak God. We needed a God who would, listen now, I believe in doctors. We have doctors that come to this church, but they're doing only what man can accomplish. And I thank God for doctors. They do good things. But I needed a way maker and a miracle worker. And my faith level needed to be one that I believed that God was able to do abundantly above all I could even ask or imagine. You see, when God becomes bigger to you, greater things are available to you. We serve a God who spoke the world into existence. We serve a God who parted the Red Sea. We serve a God who walked on water. We serve a God who raises people from the dead. We serve a God who opens blind eyes and makes the deaf people to hear. We serve a God that when it was time to make his tax payment, he sent his buddy to go fishing. First fish you catch, open his mouth, and there'll be enough money in his mouth to pay your taxes and mine. We serve a God who rose from the dead. His name is Jesus. Can I hear an amen? We serve a God who took away the keys of death and hell from the devil. We serve a God who's coming again. He's going to crack the eastern sky. We serve a God of all answers. We serve a God who loves us passionately. We serve a God where nothing is impossible. Nothing. Where nothing is impossible. The challenge is when we keep handling it ourselves. The world watches and knows we can't handle it just like they can't handle it. You know, we had a situation in our life, and I'm almost done. When my wife and I bought a house, homeowner financed, we had a piece of property that we had purchased from her family that was 10-foot waterfalls out in the town of Lindley. Manicured yard, 2.5 acres, very private. And my wife saw this house, and it was homeowner financed, and it needed a lot of work done. It needed, the inside wasn't completed, and the outside was 3 acres, and there was no lawn. It was just dirt and field. And so my wife said, I would really like that house. I said, let's put our property up for sale and see if it sells. It sold in 2 days. We made enough money to where we were able to put down a down payment and start renovating that other house. I remember in about 2.5 year range, I was on the road as an evangelist, and all of a sudden the door got a knock on it, and it was the police and the banker. The man we had been paying the homeowner finance to kept all the money, never paid the bank. And so the banker said, you are going to have to put up, I think it was $15,000, or you're out. You're evicted. Well, my wife calls me, and I'm like, I don't even know what state I was in, but I wasn't in this state. And all of a sudden, I started realizing that, man, I'm in a bad spot. And I don't remember how quickly I got home, but I got home, and we started working with the details of all the mess. And we didn't have $15,000, so we had to move. We had to go back to renting. And we lost over $25,000. But you see, that weight was heavy on me, and it was heavy on my wife. And at that point, she was working at a local travel agency. And the women of the travel agency were actually watching her, because they knew what she was going through. And one by one, they gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. You want to know why? This is what they said. We don't know how you're handling that. We wouldn't be able to. We need some pills and medical help to get us through. My wife looked and said, listen, my God is able to do abundantly above all I can even ask or imagine. I don't know what he's going to pull off, but if the devil steals it, he owes us back 7 times, by the way. And so it doesn't matter what weapon formed against me, it shall not prosper. And literally every woman in that office, except for one, gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God changed their life. How is that possible? Because they watched how she worked through pressure. They're watching you, by the way. They want to know if your God is great enough to where you don't have the stress and the overwhelming that everybody else does. Say amen or amai. Is your God the way maker? Is your God the miracle worker? Is there anything impossible for your God? Then why are you fretting? Why are you worried? Why are you overwhelmed? See, the moment you step into being overwhelmed, this is the facts. Are you ready? The moment you're being stepped into overwhelmed, you know you've now taken your eyes off the way maker. Now you know this is the way it works. Ready? I'm going to help God fix it. Anybody else there with me? I can't figure this out, but I know God's not moving quick enough. I'm going to help him. Every time I've helped God, I prolonged it. Because I've messed my own life up when I try to help God do something that he's more than able to accomplish. But what it actually means is I'm not doing Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You see, I need to help God. I need God to figure this out. And if God can't figure it out in my speed, then I'm going to help him with the speed. I'm going to help God. I'm going to take on these burdens, and I'm going to start carrying them myself. I'm going to start, well, you know, I've got to do this. Well, you know, I've got this problem. Well, you know, I've got that problem. And you can only hold it over your head so long. And you can confess Jesus all you want, but until you decide to lay it down at his feet, you're still carrying it. Until you make a determination that he is the way maker, he is the miracle worker, he is the one that walked on water, he is the one that raised the dead, he is the one that conquered the devil and all the demons from hell and took away the keys of death and hell. He is the one that is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. Until you really realize that, you're always going to live a stressed, overwhelmed life. And the problem with that is that the world watches. How many of you know at least one person that you're really praying that God's going to save them? I mean, like really, really get in their life and transform their life. The question is, are you handling life the same way they're handling life? Because if you're handling life the same way they're handling life, why would they want the life that you have? They've already got it. Pastor, I know. How many of you know? But how? How do I do this? I'm going to start with one before the one. This is not one of my five. The one before the one is if the trouble that is in your life is because you're sinning, well, then get the sin out. That's not even number one yet. That precursors. You see, if you're a person that's living a sinful life, you're living in a relationship or you're living a lifestyle that is not godly and you know it, man, I want you to know that's always going to bring you stress, for the wages of sin is death. You can't expect to live your own way and get God's blessing. You can't expect to live your own lifestyle and expect the blessings from heaven to overwhelm your life. It's just not going to happen. You and I need to make sure that we're walking right before God. Listen, nobody here is perfect. Turn to somebody and say, I know you're not perfect. Yeah, well, you without sin, let him cast the first stone. Yeah, you just shot yourself, didn't you? How many here have never sinned? He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. We all got issues. They just might have a bigger issue than you. But the truth comes down to this. If there's sin in your life, you're going to struggle constantly. Now, what I love about Christ is that Christ, according to the book of Romans chapter 6, is that when you got saved, he broke the power of sin in your life. You are no longer controlled by sin. It no longer has power over your life. You are no longer, according to the word, a slave to sin, but you've been freed by Jesus Christ. But that is a choice that you have to make, that I choose God more than I choose my sin. Woo! Sorry. Every preacher wants to preach that right there. I want you to write these down for me. Five ways. You want to write this down because I never do this. Five ways. The first thing is to actually believe that Jesus cares about you. The Bible says, cast all, everybody shout all. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. It's so hard for some of us to really believe that somebody genuinely loves us. I want you to hear me. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Jesus genuinely loves you. He truly cares for you. And listen, he knows your mess behind the face. And he still loves you. He still gave his all for you. He's still passionate for you. He still cares about every situation in your life. You've got to believe, number one, that Jesus actually cares about your situation. Well, Pastor, it's such a small thing. He cares about it. I remember one time a lady gave a testimony. She wanted to come to church, and she put her last $20 in the gas tank, and she had no other way. She wasn't even going to make it to work the whole week. She wasn't even going to make it to work because there was not enough money. And so she said, God, I just believe that you can bless me. She came to church and someone walked over and gave her a $100 bill. How is that possible? Because Jesus cared for her. Nobody else knew the situation, but Jesus knows the situation. This is the best part in the whole world. Man, you can keep all of your problems to yourself. You can carry them all on your shoulder that you want, all quiet like nobody knows. Pace that smile, but the best part, Jesus still knows and he still cares. Number two, we must determine that we will not be overwhelmed by staring at the situation. Some of you are not in the Word of God enough. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What is faith? Faith is trust. It says, I believe what God says is true. That's faith. If God says it, I believe it, that's finished. Right? Are you out there? Some of you don't read the Bible enough. So what's happened is the only strength you do have is to handle it yourself. You see, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So if you don't, whatever you feed grows. The opposite of faith is fear. The moment you taste fear over your situation, you immediately know you're not feeding your faith. You immediately know that you're not in the Word of God enough. You must be in the Word of God before the problem comes. One more time. You must be in the Word of God before the problem comes. Your faith will start to grow. Listen, now, last night, I have to do this too.
Well, you're the pastor.
No, I'm a guy. Michael James Spencer, and my mother spelled my name wrong on the birth certificate. Thanks, Ma. Someone just fell off a chair in the back. I don't know what happened. I'm a guy just like you are. I don't care if I got the name Pastor. I still feel the way you feel, hurt the way you hurt. I'm still a person. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't believe the local pastor, his name was Pastor Locker. I didn't believe he went to the bathroom. Then I became a pastor. Yes, we do. Last night, I spent last evening in the Word, but last night I decided I just needed more words, so I put on the Bible, the YouVersion, and I hit play in the book of Romans. And when I woke up this morning, I was just finishing the book of Jude. Feeding all night long on the Word of God. Remember, your spirit man doesn't sleep. Getting the word in my spirit. Already, my wife's been gone 3 days. Two of the nights, I've already been getting the word in my life. Getting the word all night long. Then studying and praying like I normally pray. But you see, I want more faith. I need more God to move in my life. And the way that happens is, I don't want to wait till I'm overwhelmed to all of a sudden have a situation to where now I got to start grasping for faith. I want to build my faith to a level that when a problem comes, I just sit back and go, hey, I cast all my cares upon you, for you care for me. I got to be quick. Number three, we've got to learn to be violent.
Well, I'm a passive Christian.
No, you are not. The Bible says, cast all your cares. You know what that word cast means? It means to violently throw. Doesn't mean, help me. Help me, Jesus. No. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him for a care. The word cast means that when that thing starts to get on you, you pick it up and you say, in the name of Jesus, you have no place in my life. Get out. You've got to take a violent stance. You've got to take a violent position. You've got to sit back and say, God, this is not mine. God, this is yours. I remember one time I'm driving down the road, and at one point in time we had a situation where the finances were low in the church, and, you know, that always falls on me because I've got to pray that money in if it's not there in budget. And so I'm praying, and I'm talking to God, and I remember it was coming back down through Big Flats. I was just passing the mall, and this is what I said. God, you're the owner of this church. I'm not the owner. I'm the pastor. I'm like the manager. This is not my problem. This is your problem. I don't know how you're going to figure it out, but you're going to figure it out because this is your problem and not my problem. I violently casted that problem back to God. And listen now, I very rarely ever get stressed about finances ever, because I learned that that's just not an option for me. That my God took all of my problems, and he can have them, because I'm not big enough to handle them anyways. When you get that, baby, there's a relief. Whew. Number one, what does it say? Number one, you got to believe that he cares for you. Number two, the word of God, fill your faith. Number three, cast, fling, throw violently with great force. Number four, surround yourself with faith people. You want to know why we have groups?
Well, because you want us to get out of our house one more day a week. Really?
Do you want to know why we have groups? So that you can fill and surround yourself with faith-filled people. That when trouble comes in your life, you can trouble your trouble instead of being troubled by it. That you'll have people like Moses had with Aaron and Hur that would lift his hands in the middle of a battle and say, you're going to make it. I don't care. You can't give up because I'm praying for you. I've got your right arm. I've got your left arm. I'm not giving up on you. God's not giving up on you. You've got to surround yourself with faith people. Man, what happens in the most worst thing is to be all by yourself in the middle of being overwhelmed, because fear loves to destroy a single person. I can't wait. Here we go. I got to keep going. Oh, I got to say this. But I'm a realist. Good. Come see me later. Five. We're called to walk by faith and not by sight. If you can only see the care, then you're walking by sight. When all you see is the problem, when all you see is the situation, when all you see is the anxiety, then what you're doing is you're actually staring at that problem. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says, looking unto Christ, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It's time to get your eyes off of your problem and get your eyes filled with faith on the way maker, the miracle maker, the one who can turn nothing into something, the one who can part the waters in your life, the one who can catch a fish if you need one. And God can do anything if you just believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. See, if you're not living in peace, don't say anything. The Bible says this, that you have perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. So when you're into worry, you automatically know your mind is not stayed on Christ, which means you've just grabbed a dumbbell. Oh, what was that called? What was that? You just grabbed the what? I didn't call you a dumbbell, but this is called a dumbbell. Do you want to know why this is called a dumbbell? I don't either. I have no clue. But don't be a dumbbell that picks up a dumbbell. Because if you could have handled it, you'd have handled it a long time ago. Trust God. He loves you. He cares about your situation. The smallest minute details. Man, I prayed for keys before because I lost them. God helped me find my keys. I prayed for a car that broke and God healed my car. I prayed for a brush hog and I called David to help me. David Pruitt. God's son in the flesh. Hallelujah. All I know is this, is some of you are overwhelmed. You have problems in your life. And listen, you all going to have problems. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. The difference is not the problem. The problem is what you do with the problem. And I challenge you to be a person that works with these five things. If you do these five things, you can't fail. You work these five things and the people of the world are going to look at you and say, dude, you really do got something better than I have. You really do serve a God who's alive. You do serve a God who heals cancer. You do serve a God who's able to provide financially for my life. You do serve a God who's able to make a great omelet out of a broken egg. You serve a God who loves you. And he just wants you to know that today, if you will violently cast your cares upon him, he cares for you. Last verse I just want to say is, he says, take my yoke upon you. It's easy. With Jesus in the yoke, baby, you can't fail. But if you're handling it by yourself, that's why you're overwhelmed. It's time to let go and let God. Amen. Bow your head with me this morning. I've gone late. I apologize. I preached 2 hours straight. Got out of hand. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't have God help you because you're not with God. Religion won't get you to heaven. Your church won't get you to heaven. Your wife won't get you to heaven. Your husband won't get you to heaven. Good intentions won't get you to heaven. Being a nice person won't get you to heaven. There's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Well, Pastor, I'd rather be in an all-inclusive religion than this is not it. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way. Only Jesus. This morning, if you don't know Christ and you want Christ to come into your life and wash your sins away, make you a son and daughter of the Most High God so you can be positioned to live victoriously in every situation, I want you to know that today is your day. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to join religion. I want you to know God. And when you do, that waymaker shows up, man. He turns your darkness into light. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you want him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone this morning that needs Jesus to be their Lord and Savior? I'm not going to wait long. Come on. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3. Come on. Two. Last call. And one. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness in our life. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you're passionate for us. We thank you, God, that there is nothing that you cannot accomplish in our life. We thank you, God, that you are still the God of the supernatural, that you still make blind eyes open. You still make the deaf hear. You still raise the dead. God, you are still the miracle worker. You can still make money come in a fish's mouth. God, there's nothing you can't do. And I pray that today in the name of Jesus, that this church will be a church where we walk differently. We walk by faith and not by sight. And that the world will stand back and say, I don't know what you got. I don't understand how you're doing it. But that means God is on your side. Lord, I just thank you for this house, these people, your people. God, I thank you that we're going to win this region for Jesus. Lord, we declare that not one will not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not one will not have the opportunity, because each one of us, Lord, will have the circle of influence and share the gospel with them. In Jesus' name, bless us. Let no sickness come in our house. God, bless us financially as we're tithing and sowing. Bless our relationships in Jesus' name. Lord, bless us going in and bless us coming out for the glory of heaven. And everybody shouted. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you need ministry, they're here. We love you. Have an awesome day. Serve Jesus with all of your heart.